From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Now, the crisis in Philadelphia's schools. This morning on Morning Edition, we heard about the system's huge funding and governance problems in the wake of devastating budget cuts. Now, we focus on another massive problem that is far less talked about, poverty. It's often the biggest barrier to educational success. Today, Philadelphia is one of America's poorest cities, with close to 40% of children there living in poverty. But as NPR's Eric Westerveld reports, the link between poverty and student achievement has barely figured in the debate over school reform.
It's a crisp fall day. An occasional wind gust hits the courtyard leading into the Julio de Burgos Public Elementary School in North Philly. Dream, achieve. Leaves tumble over those words painted in big, brightly colored letters on the cement entranceway. Dream, achieve. Across the street's a bar, Frank's, which looks like it served its last beer in the 1980s when this area was in full post-industrial nosedive. But it's hard to tell. Like too many buildings in the Kensington neighborhood, the line between abandoned and merely dilapidated is blurry.
All right, so I want you to write the question down. Then we're going to go over what we're talking about. We're going to go over where to find...
Inside the school, on the second floor, 55-year-old teacher Gail Cantor holds court.
Put your pencil down, assume the position, and give me a big queso smile.
Cantor is a feisty Jewish woman with a pocket full of one-liners. She's leading a sixth-grade class of mostly Latino and black kids. De Burgos is more than 90% Latino. Almost every child attending this school lives at or below the federal poverty line.
When they read, they sound like a bunch of like old Jewish men in the synagogue. Hey, yeah, that's what they remind me of.
Cantor this day is teaching about labor leader and civil rights activist Cesar Chavez, who co-founded the United Farm Workers Union.
What happens when you can't pay your bills?
You get evicted.
That's right. You get evicted. You lose your house. There's no electricity. So what happened to Cesar Chavez in his early years is the same thing that still happens to people right now. So now we're going to talk about what circumstances in his early years. Is there any question up here, any word up here you don't understand? Stop the train.
It's almost lunchtime. Minds are wandering. Some students struggle with Cantor's question. What in Chavez's early life inspired him to take a stand? He had it pretty good as a little kid, one student blurts out.
I know, that's exactly what I was thinking. This is when it was good. What's he going to take a stand for? Better watermelon? More friends on the ranch? Where does it start to get tough for him, but he's still a child? That's where I want you to look.
The public school situation in Philly is grim. The district is broke. The governor cut more than $1 billion from the state's K-12 budget, which hit the state-controlled Philly district hardest. At the school year's start, the district laid off thousands of employees, cut programs and services, and closed 23 underpopulated city schools. De Burgos just absorbed some 250 kids, an upheaval that's still in progress. That's put enormous strain on kids, parents, and teachers, especially when you throw in persistent poverty. Among the largest U.S. cities, Philadelphia has the highest percentage of people living in deep poverty. I asked Cantor if she's had to increase out-of-pocket buying for her students. She just laughs.
Clothing, books, all the school supplies, backpacks. And you see some kids that are really suffering. Some kids don't ever have a dime. They have one pencil, they have a spiral book, and they don't have any of the supplies.
Other teachers say they've had to bring in cleaning supplies, even toilet paper. But lots of non-material things gnaw at Cantor. She says some parents these days, many of them single moms, seem overwhelmed and disengaged. Cantor says she knows they're stressed out and tries to reach out on the phone, but too often is left discouraged.
Numbers are already wrong. They're already disconnected. People are sending their children to school without a phone number where you can reach them. There are a lot of parents that want to do better but don't know exactly how to do it. Like, I'll have parents who will defer to me. I'm not the parent, but I'm older, I'm educated, and so they look to me, like, for help.
Never only touch what you're taking.
Kindergartners queue up in a semi-orderly way for a lunch offering of turkey burgers, pizza, milk, and steamed veggies. Most just want the pizza.
Plain or pepperoni?
Plain.
Every child at De Burgos gets access to free breakfast and a free lunch at school. The principal says almost all take part. Study after study shows the many ways poverty undermines learning. Lower-income kids enter kindergarten with poorer language skills than kids from middle and upper-income homes. Studies show in some cases kids from poverty are more than 2 years behind their privileged counterparts. They're more likely to have fewer books in the home, have more health problems, and miss more school days. And too many kids come to school hungry, then they can't focus and learn.
They can't concentrate as well. And children who are food insecure don't perform as well on math and language arts tests. They don't do as well in school.
Mariana Chilton is with Drexel University's School of Public Health and a leading authority on hunger and poverty in Philadelphia. She says at the height of the Great Recession, nearly half of all families with young kids in this city reported food hardship or increased hunger. She says the research is crystal clear. Poverty and hunger undermine children's cognitive, social, and emotional development.
They also have a hard time getting along with their peers and with their teachers, so it's strongly related to how well a child can do in school.
Some parents in the swaths of concentrated poverty in North and West Philly don't have enough consistently for food, heat, rent, running water, or electricity. That often means their kids can't do homework, think, or read in a comfortable place. Neighborhood violence and crime only add to their sense of vulnerability.
And it creates a certain kind of desperation and distrust among neighbors and among school administrators, and it's a sense of being abandoned by our most important institutions. It's a sense of being abandoned by the powers that be in the city of Philadelphia.
Over time, Philadelphia's enduring poverty has exacerbated de facto segregation. Education historian Diane Ravitch says Philadelphia and other big urban school systems in America too often fail to look at school crises and solutions holistically, fail to link poverty, racial and income inequality, with school performance.
That is not just the elephant in the room, that is the biggest scandal in our country today. We don't want to talk about poverty, and the people who call themselves reformers say poverty is just an excuse for bad teachers. That's their way of saying, let's not talk about poverty. And the whole state of Pennsylvania should be ashamed of what's happening in Philadelphia today.
We don't want to talk about poverty, she says, because it's too big and too ugly. Nationally, the school achievement gap by income has widened substantially in the last 30 years, according to a Stanford professor whose work shows that economic inequality now exceeds racial inequality in its effect on education outcomes.
I use my Big Shack. It has the milk, cheese, eggs, the beans. You could get Mm-hmm. The 164-ounce can of juice. That's your Big Shack.
34-year-old Sharina McGee is struggling to keep it all together. She has three kids, ages 1, 5, and 8. The father of the youngest child took off. The father of the other two kids is in prison. Sharina gets food stamps and, for her 1-year-old, food help from the Federal Assistance Program, WIC.
I do rely on it. Sometimes when you run out of food stamps or you run out of food, you still got your WIC checks.
She now works at a WIC office as a nutritionist assistant. She makes $8.97 an hour, barely enough, she says, to get by. Sharina says she and other single moms depend on the free food from public schools.
When them kids come to school, you don't know if they had food in their refrigerator or if their mom around, she could be on drugs or whatever or not even there. What are they eating? We don't know once they leave school.
McGee's holding out for her own version of that DeBurgo school sign in big, bright letters, Dream, Achieve. She wants good public schools for her kids and someday a food truck selling her homemade soul food. I want to be an entrepreneur, she says. I'm tired of this. Eric Westervelt, NPR News.
Tomorrow morning, the promise and perils of charter schools, as our series on Philadelphia schools continues.